does things, doesn't he, that we just need to look at him, focus, fix our attention on what he's doing. And, you know, for us as a church, I just want to keep reminding us of a few things that we've not been this way before. And there are no experts out there. Okay, you might have been one way before, but we've not been this way before. And so we don't want to make errors. We want to hear God. We want to get it right. But the risk is we may go down some one-way streets and have to you'd have to come back. Okay? So we don't want to fail, but trying to walk with God means we're really putting ourselves under pressure if we're saying that we always get it right. Okay? So that's why you have prophetic, you have words of knowledge, you have people that seek God's face, and all of those things are opportunities to bring just a slight shift. You know, if we're 1 degree out, it's okay at the beginning, but at the end, you will be massively off of where God wants to take you. So it's really important for us as a church to realize that we're following him, and he is alive, he is not dead. He is revealed in his word, the Logos, but there's also, the Logos, and then there's the Rhema, the spoken word. And both, when God speaks through his word or speaks through a person, if it's the Rhema word, they both have equal standing, because God is, he's revealed through his word, but he's also revealed through spoken words. And so, you know, there's people who I love who say that spend most of their time looking at Scripture and telling you what Scripture says, but I want to say that God also speaks the Rhema word through people. And we need to heed those. He never contradicts himself. So if you feel God's telling you to smack someone in the face, I just want to remind you, it says, love never fails. Now, Jesus, actually, Smith Wigglesworth, he smacked someone in the belly. The person was healed. So I guess it was a love touch. The bloke collapsed on the floor, and the doctor chased him and said, he's dead! He's dead, he said, he's not, he's healed. And the good news was the bloke was healed completely of cancer. God works. I'm not suggesting you go into Tesco's and start smacking people saying you're healed, because if they're not, they're going to chase after you and probably lay hands on you in a different way. So we've not been this way before. We're following his presence. We're trying to keep our eyes on him. And, you know, Scripture, Hebrews 3 and 12 says, fix your eyes on him. And that's not just a requirement for leaders. That is a requirement for everyone, to keep their eyes on Jesus. You are responsible for your own personal journey. So your choices about how you live will affect you. And God wants you to be responsible for making good choices. So we're creating an environment, hopefully, where people are free. We're not trying to fear people into doing the right things. Choices are what enable you to make the right decisions. We are family, and that's something we're going to be majoring on over this year, and we're building for 1,000. And that's going to change us. That's going to change our structures. It's going to change how meetings are. It's going to change how much we can do. It's going to move us from maintenance, which is often when I look at how we operate, sometimes I just hear and see maintenance, and God wants us to be missional. He wants us to be looking out. He wants us, you know, we would love to run an alpha where we get 100 people. That comes from being missional, not from trying to maintain. And, you know, us Brits, we struggle with change. We struggle with things are different. I believe Britain is struggling. Not business, but the British people are struggling with a global world. We keep harping back to the days of the empire or the Commonwealth, and, you know, we can stand alone. I think things are changing. Things are changing in our nation, and there's certainly, I believe, God wants to bring change to the body of Christ, how we operate, how we function, how we live. The way that we did it in the 50s and 60s is different. You know, my mum and dad haven't embraced technology, and they've been left behind. My mum and dad still won't do online banking because it's dodgy, says my mum. The rest of the world is doing it, but my mum Gladys, it's dodgy. I don't want everybody knowing my business. And, you know, trying to persuade her otherwise is, well, I've kind of given up. But the world isn't stopping for Gladys. It's pressing on. So, we will get our notices working well. We're having a few teething problems, but it doesn't mean that we're not going to press in. I would encourage us all to embrace I Know. Just giving it a little plug, Denise and Martin. Embrace I Know. Oh, it's not how... Oh, no, it's not. I know it's not, but it's taking us forward. We have challenges with GDPR and what we're allowed to do and what we're not allowed to do. So I would just encourage us as a church to embrace change and embrace it well. Change is something to be celebrated. God is consistently and always moving. He is revealing more of himself. You know, you think you might know everything. I've got a surprise for you. God has got more to show you. There is greater things to come. So this might take me a few times to get through, but I make no apologies for it. It's a few short verses, but I think God's got a lot to say on a few short verses, and I just hope that what I communicate today helps us to go on this journey. So it says in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 16, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire, do not treat prophecies with contempt, test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. Beautiful. For me, my year, I did a little talk on Ascend about ministry, and I just quoted this thing about do not put out the Spirit's fire. And since that day, 2 weeks ago, I've just been locked in this portion of Thessalonians. And be joyful always. If you are a carrier, a lover of Jesus, it's a mark, joy. It doesn't say be joyful when everything is good. It's easy. If West Ham win, which is not often, it's really easy for me to be joyful on that Saturday. But when they lose, which is regular, nothing's changed. God isn't interested in who wins a premiership. Just sort of throw that out there for bio. He doesn't care if Man City win or Liverpool. It shouldn't affect our joy. It says, be joyful always. When your kids go through problems, be joyful always. when your marriage is causing you a little bit of stress. None of us, of course. But be joyful always. When your next door neighbor's playing his music at 3 o'clock in the morning and you're trying to get to sleep, the word of God says, be joyful. When someone cuts you up on the M25 and boy, oh boy, when the traffic's bad, who are these guys that feel they can just, and everyone brakes, lorries just come straight out in front of you, you know, be joyful always. You know, one of the things that God is training us for, one thing is lots of things, he's training us to be an overcomer. So just look at the person next to you and say, you're an overcomer. So guess what God's going to do? Guess what he's going to do? Yeah, thank you, Malcolm. There's only one comedian here and that's me, all right? Guess what God's going to do? He's going to put things in your way that you've got to overcome. Oh, I want to be an overcomer, but I want it easy. Let's just laugh at that lie. Ha ha. God wants us to be overcomers, so he gives us things to... Oh. It's amazing. So why does he give us things to overcome? Because he wants us to rule and reign. That was his original intent for us in the garden. And we have an enemy who is active. He's already defeated, but his final defeat hasn't yet arrived. But he has been made powerless by Jesus. The only power that he now has is what we give him. And it's often in the battles. You know, this is how I fight my battles. This song that we sing, if you read it, it's a teaching to you. This is how I fight my battles. And so many Christians, and it breaks my heart, they overcome when opportunity comes, and guess what? They don't overcome, they undercome. They avoid it, or they allow the circumstance to become overwhelming. And the enemy uses those things to rob us of our joy. It's worshiping despite. It's being joyful in every situation and circumstance. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. Despite all that I look at in the natural, in the spiritual, it is well with my soul. And guys, as we transition to build for 1,000, you've got to understand there are battles that we're going to have to overcome. And the enemy's tactic is to knock us off one by one. He knows where you're weak. It's where opening up your weaknesses one to another is not so you can just say, isn't my world bad? Can I have sympathy? No, the body of Christ is always to bring you up. Because Jesus moved with compassion. He never, ever moved in sympathy. I don't need kissy, kissy, there, there. I need people that remind me of who I am. That's how I fight my battles. That's how you fight your battles. Be joyful always. Won't it be great when the people of the Wick, the Crouch Valley, look at us as a church and say, there is joy in that place. You know, this afternoon, over in the hall, they've got a spiritual day. I break its power now in the name of Jesus. Disaster, financial disaster on that. That's how I fight my battles. I'm not put off by it. I know whose I am. And I fight my battles on his terms. I read the word to find out where I'm standing. That's how I fight my battles. Not with what I think or feel, but what he says. He will never leave me or forsake me. It's not just for Rob, it's for you. God wants you to fix and allow Him to fix your brokenness. Broken people can't fix people, but fixed people can. I need people around me who are going to show me how I fight my battles when the times the enemy comes in like a flood. He's only a pussycat. He's not a lion. He just sometimes tries to roar like one. I told you it was going to be a long journey. There's a lot here. But one of the components is joy. The Authorized Version doesn't say be joyful always. It says rejoice evermore. Wow. I could just drink that. Rejoice evermore. What's he got up there? Rejoice evermore. Hallelujah. God, this is working. The technology is working. Come on. More, Lord. Especially on a Tuesday night on Ascend, we say, Lord, just release that technology to work better. The psalmist wrote, in thy presence is fullness of joy. You're not full of joy? I've said this many times. Where are you hanging out? What bar are you drinking from? In His presence, there is fullness of joy. When we're camped around His presence, there will be a mark on us of fullness, being filled, being overflowing with joy. When you walk in rooms, because you're carrying the joy of the Lord, the situations change. People come to you and say, what is it? Jesus was followed because He set such an example. He didn't try to rule with religion. He just was the Son of God, completely human. He wasn't moving out of His godlikeness. He was completely human when He walked planet Earth. He set us the example that we should follow. This, He was saying, this is what I'm like. And if you're going to be in me, this is what you must be like. And when the church in the world gets hold of who they are, the world's going to change. Because all of creation is waiting, aching for the sons and daughters of God to rise up and take their stand. That's, woohoo! I can tell I'm not in Africa because they'd have been jumping by now. Oh, hallelujah. They'd have been stamping their feet and they'd have been woo, woo, woo. You know, we need to get excited. We do need to, you know, the enemy, part of our excitement is our spiritual warfare against the enemy that wants to bring repression on us, who wants us to feel overcome. He hates it when God's people give words of affirmation. I'm not saying you've got to say amen or anything like that. That's up to you. But we need to get excited and say, feed me, Lord. You know, people laugh at me. I'm known in many areas as yum, yum man. Because when you say yum, yum, you're feeding on what's been said. You're saying this is good food. It's yummy, yummy. You don't have to go yum, yum. Please don't. I like being yum, yum man. I don't want any of you to be called yum, yum man. But, you know, we feed on God's word. We affirm it. We say yes to it. And when we say yes, it comes in. You know, people laugh about declarations. I don't need to do that. Do you know, the more that I speak, what I speak, I seed into my future. I seed into where I'm going. I'm saying yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Every time I say yes, I'm watering that seed until it becomes a sapling and finally constantly feeding it. It becomes an oak tree. And when you become an oak tree, other birds can come and sit in your branches and receive of what you've learned. So that our ceiling becomes Yeah, our ceiling becomes the floor of the generations up there, that they don't have to fight the same battles of ours, but they will understand why we fight battles, because they've got other battles to come. This is how we fight our battles, by holding on to the word of God, by saying, yes, Lord. Yes, give it more, Lord. I'm ready for more. You know, if you don't know how to steward the small, you will never be able to steward the big. God always gives it in seed form. And then when you steward it well, he gives you more. He will never give you a worldwide ministry until you can seed the small stuff. And you steward it well. You know, Bio gave us he asked us to listen to a podcast called Praying Always, or Praying Without Ceasing. And I've listened to it 4 or 5 times since Bio sent it to us. And I'm just allowing the message just to consume me, to break into my life, to change how I think. Because without a transformed mind, without a renewing of the mind, I stay where I've always been. And Romans 12 isn't just a nice verse that we read out occasionally. God wants to constantly come and say, you're thinking from earth, and I want you to think out of heaven. I want you to see it through my filter, not yours. You're not a printer's son from Bethnal Green, although on one level I am. I am his son. I am his. I was created before my mum and dad had sex. God had ordained that I would live. Before my mum and dad got together for a few moments of pleasure, before that, God had said, Rob is going to live. And I'm going to place him in Essex. And he's going to be an irritant to the people around him. And he's going to have a big mouth and he's going to have lots to say. But he is my son. Once you know who you are, 2 things happen. You start to walk in a different way and the enemy starts to get nervous. Because he wants you and I to remain at low level. So who are you going to listen to? The liar or the bringer of truth? You have a choice. I know who I'm listening to. I know whose side I'm on. I know what I'm giving my life to from now to my dying day. I'm giving it to him. I might look older. I've got grey hair, which is a signature of wisdom. I was just laughing the other day when I read that. I thought, whoa. But inside, there's a childlikeness. Not childish, but there's a childlikeness to want to explore him more. You need joy. You need it. It's not an optional extra. It's a requirement. Rejoice in the Lord always. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And then he says it again, Paul, and again I say, rejoice. We could write a song. And I've got the words. Rejoice in the Lord always. Oh, you've heard it. Do you remember? It used to be one of those songs we used to sing in the 70s, I think. And I used to think, oh, this is cheesy. But actually, the words are not. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. We even used to do a little dance. Rejoice. 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 And again I say, rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. And again I say, rejoice. You know, one of my preparation times when I do anything now is just putting myself in a place where I can just put on my iPad, I put it onto some of my favourite singers, and I put on my boom box. Lizzie tells me to turn it down. I just shut the door, and I just allow God to come and fall on me. Yeah, don't get me wrong. I have quite a considerable amount of time. Well, you might not think it. I actually read this and try and study and learn. But just being lost in wonder of who he is absolutely outstanding. And the more I do it, the more confident I become, the more I know who I am, the less irritated I become, frustration kind of goes out. I go after things and I try and do it well because he is my source. Not to get down when things don't work. Rejoice always. It's not just for leaders. It's for you. It's how we fight our battles. It's how you're going to fight your battles, because there's battles that are coming. Even little Eli, 3 days old, good news is, hallelujah, he's going to grow up in an environment where Jesus is honoured, but he's going to fight some battles, and he needs to learn from us how to do that. So you have a responsibility when you go around with a po' face, when you go around and everyone's frightened to give you feedback because you don't like receiving feedback unless it's good. I want to just say that's not how you fight your battles. We had Tim and Sue Eldridge last week, and Tim said, Rob, can I give you some feedback? I went, sure. Thinking, I've not said anything too bad. So they said, he goes, why do you vacuum after every Sunday? I thought, I haven't said that. And then I realised, my beautiful wife had dropped me right in it. And he said, where God is taking you, if you're going to build for 1,000, you shouldn't be vacuuming. Now I can take that feedback or not. He said, what you need to do is release another vacuumer. Well, great. So, guys, I'm looking for a vacuumer on a Sunday to vacuum. It's a training ground for more. I mean that. You want to stand on platforms, you want to stand on stages, learn to vacuum. Learn to serve. You know, I always remember Bayer when he first came to the church. It was a bit embarrassing, but sometimes he'd like to carry my chair and put it there. And it was an honouring. I didn't understand it at the time. But honouring is important. If you want to get on stages, you want to be a person of influence, you need to know how to honour, not to dishonour. If you're struggling with that, read Culture of Honor and Keep Your Love On. You know, I was talking to someone in this church recently, and I just don't think they've read it. I just knew they hadn't read it. And, you know, I've told them they've got to do this and they've got to do that, and I thought, you don't tell people what to do. You ask them, what are you going to do to change your circumstances? Because if you're doing it because I'm telling you to do it, you're not going to fight your battle well. Because as soon as you hit the difficulty, you're going to say, it don't work, Rob. But when you choose to do it, because you know it's right, you'll overcome. So today, I've only got, I haven't even finished joy. But that's how you fight your battles, guys. Because we're going after what God has said we've got before us. We are going to build for 1,000. And it's not just going to be done on the backs of Rob and a few others. This is what God has brought you here for, because this is our season. This is our season. Because if it's not now, I'm 57. And I'm not sure I'm going to have the energy for it at 70. Sorry, Sally. I know you're only 27. But joy is is one of the things that we fight our battles. I just get to the end of joy. Joy is an indicator of God's presence. So when you've got a poor, miserable face, you know what I'm thinking? That you haven't camped around Him. You haven't allowed Him in. You're doing all the right things so that people can see. But it's what you do in the private place. And it's just between you and Him. That's when it counts. You are what you are when no one's looking. Just another little thing. I'll finish with this one because there's more on joy than 2 minutes. In Psalm 2, verse 4, it said, God laughs at His enemies. There's something about laughter when you're going through affliction. There's something about laughing. When the enemy comes at you like a flood. I love that story. I don't know who it was. He woke up one night in the middle of the night and he woke up and he found the devil at the end of his bed. And he said, I'm the devil. And he went, oh, okay then, and rolled over and went asleep. I don't know who it was. Oh, it's only you. Was it Smith Wigglesworth? Yeah. Oh, it's only you. He didn't even give me my attention. I'd have been out, ringing up the intercessors team. I'd have got bio. We got the devil in my bedroom. Can you help me? Oh, thank you. I've just got into bedroom. Could you give Dwayne a call? Hello, Dwayne would be up. He'd be in his little room. Dwayne, I need you here. I've got the devil in my bedroom. Oh, you've just woke up the whole of the house, Rob. Thank you. Denise says, can you leave it till the morning? And Joy is not happy with you. You're going to have to confront her in the morning because you've woken her up. Oh, okay. Well, who else shall I ring? Oh, you don't need to do that. Oh, it's only you. Ha ha. I'm coming after you. I know who I am. I don't need to ring the church. This is how I fight my battles. The God who is for me. I'm going to roar the Lion of Judah. And His roar is loud. I'm going to speak over you. Nothing fashioned against me shall prosper. That's how I fight my battles.